Welcome back to the UAP Research Deep Dive with UAP Caucus. Today, we're going back in time, but not the kind of history with him, you know, like dusty textbooks or anything like that. We're diving into a research paper that looks at ancient accounts going way back to like classical antiquity for mentions of what we would call unexplained aerial phenomena.
That's right. We're basically asking, did people in ancient Rome and Greece see weird stuff in the sky? And if they did those stories have anything in common with modern UFO reports?
All right, so we're talking togas and chariots here, not exactly telescopes and Twitter. How can we even find reliable UFO reports from, like, thousands of years ago?
Well, that's where the scientific method comes in. This research, it was published in the Classical Journal, and it's not just, like, collecting ghost stories or something. It's about analyzing historical texts, but, like, really rigorously. And with a very critical lens.
So not just taking every mention of a shooting star and saying, oh, that was an alien spaceship.
Exactly. The researcher was very careful to filter out things that we could easily explain today, like comets, eclipses, even the aurora borealis, you know, things that would have blown their minds back then, but we understand them scientifically now.
Makes sense. We wouldn't want to mistake a particularly bright comet for a mothership. So what did the researcher focus on? What makes an ancient account stand out as potentially a UFO?
They were looking for reports that had similar characteristics to modern UFO sightings. You know, unusual shapes, movements, and no explanation from the people who actually saw them. It's like trying to find echoes of the same phenomena we're talking about today, but in history.
Fascinating. So are there any examples from this research that really stood out to you?
Oh, absolutely. There are a bunch that are surprisingly captivating. Like, for example, during the Second Punic War. Around 218 BC, there are reports from Rome of ships in the sky.
Rope, ships in the sky. That's a pretty wild image. It was wartime, right? So could that have been some kind of mass hallucination brought on by, you know, stress or fear?
That's definitely a possibility that the researcher considers. In the middle of a war, people are on edge, looking for any sign of the enemy. But it's important to remember that's just one interpretation. And the research doesn't jump to any conclusions.
Okay. So we have to be careful not to put our modern spin on these ancient accounts. What about other examples? Are there any that seem to just not have an easy explanation?
Just a year later, in 217 BC, there's this report from Arpi describing round shields in the sky.
Round shields. I gotta admit, my mind goes straight to flying saucers. But I'm guessing the ancient Romans weren't thinking about that.
Exactly. The researchers points out that they would have used their own frame of reference. Think about it, at the time, round shields, especially the metal ones, they were like high tech. They represented the cutting edge of military power.
So something unknown and circular in the sky, they see that. And they're thinking about what's familiar to them. The most exance thing they know.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean we can just say, oh, it was just some shields they saw. There are other accounts that are harder to explain away. Like, for instance, around 150 BC, there's a report of a fiery red disk. It was seen for a pretty long time. It gradually shrunk and faded, which kind of sounds like some modern descriptions of glowing orbs.
Yeah, glowing orbs are a pretty common thing in UFO reports these days.
Yeah.
Could that have been a natural phenomenon, like ball lightning maybe?
It's possible, but ball lightning usually happens during storms, and there's no mention of a storm in this account. Plus, ball lightning doesn't last very long usually, and this fiery red disk was observed for much longer.
Hmm. That is interesting. So we get ships in the sky, round shields, a fiery red disk. Any other ancient UFO sightings that come to mind?
There are a few more. One that's really fascinating is from 91 BC near Spoletium. There's a report of a gold-colored ball coming down from the sky.
Okay. This is starting to sound more and more like a modern UFO report.
Right. And this one is interesting because it doesn't just appear and disappear. It supposedly came down to Earth, seemed to get bigger, then rose up again and actually blocked out the sun.
Okay. A gold-colored ball blocking out the sun. That's definitely not something you see every day. I'm having trouble coming up with a normal explanation for that one. What do the researchers think about it?
They considered a lot of possibilities, of course. Could it have been a meteor? Maybe some super rare form of ball lightning? But the details, especially the size and how it seemed to interact with the sun, make it really hard to put it in any category we know.
This is what I love about these deep dives. It's like we're challenging what we think we know, pushing the boundaries, but we got to ask, how did people back then explain these weird events? Did they have their own UFO theories?
Well, the ancient Greeks and Romans had a whole bunch of different explanations, depending on the specific event. Mm. They often attributed them to stars, unusual clouds, atmospheric fires. Or even the gods. You have to remember that their scientific understanding was totally different from ours.
All right, no telescopes or weather satellites back then. It's amazing to imagine how they tried to make sense of these inexplicable things using what they knew at the time. But did the research say if they actually believed those explanations? Or were they just trying to understand something they just didn't get?
That's a great question, and it's something the researcher really explores. The paper points out that many of their theories for these events were actually older than the events themselves. So it's tough to say for sure whether they really believed those explanations, or if they just didn't have the right words to describe what they were seeing.
So maybe they were seeing things they couldn't fully comprehend, just like we do sometimes today. Which brings us to the big question. Are there any connections, any similarities between these ancient accounts and the UFO reports we hear about today?
There are definitely some interesting parallels. When you look at the ancient accounts and the modern ones, certain patterns start to pop up, especially in terms of shape and movement.
Like what? Give us the good stuff.
Well, first of all, a lot of the ancient reports describe disc-shaped or spherical objects, often with a metallic look. Sound familiar?
Okay, so that classic flying saucer shape seems to be a thing throughout history. That's pretty wild. What about how these things moved? Any similarities there?
Yes. Ancient accounts often mention erratic movements, objects appearing and disappearing suddenly, and hovering in the air. These are all hallmarks of modern UFO reports, too.
So we've got similar shapes, similar movements. Anything else that connects these ancient sightings to modern UFOs?
One interesting difference, actually, is the lack of physical evidence in the old accounts. They almost never mention any traces left behind, which is something we do sometimes see in modern cases, like alleged landing sites or material debris.
That's a pretty big difference. So similar in a lot of ways, but with some key differences. It's like pieces of a puzzle. But we're missing some important parts. What are some possible explanations the researcher gave for these accounts that keep showing up throughout history?
Well, it's important to say that the research doesn't try to give any definite answers. It's more about asking questions, looking at different possibilities, and encouraging people to think critically.
Right on. Science is about asking questions, testing ideas, and being open to different interpretations. What are some of the questions this research makes us think about?
One possibility is that some of these sightings were just misinterpretations and cultural influences. Maybe people were misinterpreting natural events because their scientific knowledge was limited and they had different beliefs back then.
That makes sense. Even today, we see people mistaking things like weather balloons or drones for something crazy. What other explanations are there?
Another possibility is that we're dealing with natural phenomena that we don't know about yet. Natural events that we haven't figured out. And that could explain some of these more unusual sightings.
It's kind of humbling to remember that we don't have all the answers, even in the 21st century.
It is. And the researcher thinks that some of these ancient sightings could be because of natural events that we haven't discovered or fully understand yet.
Like some kind of rare weather event or a space event that no one ever wrote down.
That's a possibility worth thinking about. I mean, look at the history of science. There are tons of examples of things people thought were impossible or supernatural, but then later they were explained by science.
That's true. But we can't talk about UFOs without talking about aliens. It's the thing everyone wants to talk about, but it's also the hardest to prove.
The researcher knows that extraterrestrial visitation is a popular theory, but they emphasize that we need to think critically and not jump to conclusions. Extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence, as they say.
Do these ancient accounts give us that kind of extraordinary evidence?
Sadly, no. While they're super interesting, they don't give us the kind of solid, verifiable proof that would be needed to say for sure that aliens exist.
So that possibility is still out there, but we just don't have the proof.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the tough part about studying UFOs, both ancient and modern. It's a field where people often focus more on speculation and interpretation than hard evidence. But that doesn't mean we should just ignore the whole thing. Even if we forget about aliens for a second, these ancient UFO sightings make us ask some big questions about what we really understand.
I think that's a really important point. They make us consider the possibility that there are things out there, phenomena, that our current science can't explain.
Absolutely. It's like looking at a map from hundreds of years ago. There were huge areas marked terra incognita, the unknown lands. Today, we might not have those blank spaces on our maps, but there are still huge unexplored areas of knowledge, things we don't understand.
And maybe these ancient UFO sightings are like messages from those unexplored areas, like messages in a bottle sent through time, telling us that there's more to the universe than we know.
I love that analogy. And it shows why looking at the past, including how our ancestors dealt with the unknown, can give us a new way of seeing the present. Maybe by understanding their questions, we can ask better questions ourselves.
I am definitely feeling curious, but let's get back to those specific ancient accounts. You said there were more weird encounters from the past waiting for us.
Yeah.
What else did this researcher find in those old texts?
It's kind of crazy to think that people have been seeing weird stuff in the sky for, like, forever, long before airplanes or satellites, or even the idea of aliens.
It really puts our whole UFO thing today into perspective, right? It's not new. It's, like, been part of human history since we first looked up at the stars.
Exactly. And it's interesting how, even though the explanations have changed, you know, from gods and demons to weather stuff or alien spaceships, the basic mystery is still the same. What are these things and where do they come from?
Right. And before we went to the break, we were talking about some of the explanations the researcher had for these ancient sightings, like misinterpretations, unknown natural things, and of course, aliens. Let's dig into those a bit more.
Let's start with misinterpretations, because I think that's super important when we're talking about history. The researcher says we got to look at these sightings through the lens of the culture back then. Ancient people didn't have science like we do today. They lived in a world where myths and legends were just part of how they understood nature.
So it's easy to see how something like a bright meteor or some weird weather thing could be seen as like a sign from the gods.
Exactly. The researcher even thinks that some of the words used in the Roman accounts, like ships in the sky or flying shields, might show the anxieties of a society that was always at war.
Well, that's interesting. So their idea of the unknown was shaped by what was going on around them, kind of like how we might be more likely to see a UFO if we just watched a movie about aliens.
Exactly. Our brains are always trying to figure out the world, and they use familiar patterns to do that. But even if some things were misinterpretations, there are still those accounts that are just really hard to explain.
Right, like that gold-colored ball that blocked out the sun. That's not a simple mistake, even if they didn't know as much as we do.
Totally. And that's where the idea of unknown natural phenomena comes in. We've come a long way with science and tech, but we don't have all the answers. There are still mysteries out there just waiting to be discovered.
True. It's kind of humbling to think about all the stuff we still don't know. Even now.
It is. And the researchers suggest that some of these old sightings might be from natural events that we haven't figured out yet.
Some rare weather thing.
Yeah.
Or an event in space that was never recorded.
It's worth considering. After all, look at the history of science. There are so many things that used to be impossible or supernatural. But then we found a scientific explanation for them.
That's a good point. But we can't talk UFOs and not talk about aliens, right? It's what everyone wants to hear about. But it's the hardest to prove.
The researcher knows that alien visitation is a popular idea, but they're careful about jumping to conclusions. Extraordinary claims need extraordinary evidence, as they say.
And do these ancient accounts give us that crazy good evidence?
Not really. They're cool. But they don't give us the kind of solid proof we'd need to say for sure that aliens are real.
So it's still possible, but we just don't have the proof yet.
Exactly. And that's the hard part about studying UFOs. Whether they're ancient or modern, it's all about speculation and interpretation more than hard facts. But that doesn't mean we should just ignore it. Even if we forget about aliens for a minute, these ancient sightings make us think about what we really know.
I think that's a big takeaway here. Mm-hmm. They make us wonder if there are things out there, things that our science can't explain.
Right. It's like those old maps, you know, with terra incognita all over them, the unknown lands. We might have filled in the maps now, but there's still so much we don't know.
And maybe these ancient sightings are like messages from those unknown places, like messages in a bottle.
Yes.
Sent across time, telling us that the universe is bigger and weirder than we think.
I love that. It shows why looking at the past, how people back then dealt with the unknown, can give us a new way of seeing things today. Maybe by understanding their questions, we can ask better questions ourselves.
I'm really feeling that curiosity now. But let's get back to the actual accounts. You mentioned there were more weird stories from the past. What else did this researcher dig up? It's been quite a trip through history looking at these accounts of what you might call ancient UFOs.
It's pretty wild to think that people thousands of years ago were looking up at the sky and seeing things they couldn't explain, just like we do today.
So before we went on that tangent, we were talking about some of the explanations for these sightings, like misinterpretations, unknown natural phenomena, and even the possibility of aliens. But let's get back to those actual accounts. What other weird encounters did the researcher find?
There are a couple that are really interesting. One is from around 65 AD over Judea. It describes a sky army moving through the clouds.
A sky army? That sounds like something out of like a biblical movie.
Right. The account comes from the historian Josephus, who said he based his description on what eyewitnesses told him.
So multiple people saw this sky army. What did they think it was?
Josephus doesn't really say what they thought. But you can imagine how crazy it would have been. Seeing a whole army marching across the sky, it would have been amazing and maybe even scary.
Yeah, I can only imagine. It really shows how these unexplained events would have affected people back then.
There's another cool one from 74 BC, during a battle between the Roman army and King Mithridates VI of Pontus.
A UFO sighting in the middle of a battle. I gotta hear this.
So Plutarch, the historian, says that this huge flame-like body just suddenly fell out of the sky and landed right between the two armies.
It actually landed. That's a close encounter.
And get this, Plutarch describes it as being shaped like a giant wine jar, and it was silver.
Okay, a giant silver wine jar falls out of the sky onto a battlefield. That's definitely not something you see every day. So what did the armies do?
Well, the account says that both sides were so freaked out that they stopped fighting and just ran away.
Wow. So this UFO, if that's what it was, actually caused a ceasefire.
It's a fascinating story, and it really makes you think, was it a meteorite, some weird weather thing we don't understand, or something else entirely? We don't know for sure, but it shows how these unexplained things can totally change how people see the world.
It really makes you think about all the stuff we still don't know and how much our understanding of the world has changed over time.
It does. And that's one of the main points of this research, I think. It reminds us to be humble, to admit that we don't know everything and that the universe is full of mysteries we might never solve.
It's easy to think we've got it all figured out, but then we come across something like these ancient UFO sightings, and it shows us there's still so much we don't get.
Exactly. And it also shows how powerful human curiosity is. For centuries, people have looked up at the sky and wondered about what's out there. We have this deep need to explore and understand the unknown.
And that curiosity has led to some of the biggest discoveries and advancements in human history.
Definitely. And even if we never find out for sure what UFOs are, the search itself can be really cool. It can lead to new knowledge, new ways of thinking, and a deeper appreciation for how huge and mysterious the universe is.
I like that. It's not just about the answer, but the journey. What we learn along the way.
Well said. And I think that's a perfect way to wrap things up. We've gone from ancient Rome to modern day UFO reports, and we've talked about questions that might not have easy answers, but maybe that's what makes it so interesting.
It definitely does. To everyone listening, we encourage you to keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep looking up at the sky. You never know what amazing things you might find.
And until next time, stay curious.